Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Monday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo is in Harleston.
Feel a weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Whatever your role is in your business, you know what a big role printing plays in everything that you guys do. It is the voice of your business. It's what gets your message out to your customers. Why would you settle for anything but the best? Call our friends at Pip Printing and Signs and put them to work for you. Check out their website, pipridgeland.com, to get an idea of the incredible number of services they can provide and what they can do to enlighten the masses about your business. Call our friend Cam Baker today at 601-499-5216. Tell him you heard about him on Thunder and Lightning, and tell him that you want to do business with Pip Printing and Signs. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. If you need to get some new MSU gear, if you need gear with the logos that you don't have but you do want, they are at College Corner. Check them out, College Corner and collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. Best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. You need to go to Restaurant Tyler soon if you're going to be here this weekend for football or anytime you're going to be in Starkville. A meal at Restaurant Tyler needs to be on your to-do list because you want to have a great meal, you want to have a great time. You can do that at Restaurant Tyler just by walking in the door. No hassle, no trouble. Just sit down and eat, and you will be guaranteed the best meal in town. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where those locations are, but show you how they're going to help you invest, help you manage your money, and help you prepare and build for your family's future. Nowadays, it's more important than ever to be able to talk to a banker when you have questions about your money. You don't want to have to be on hold. You don't have to wait. That's why you need to deal with a bank like Priority One Bank. 16 locations means there's one near you if you live in Central Mississippi. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. I hope everybody's awake. Hope we're all well rested at this point. We got a good night's sleep.
You weren't supposed to do the Strange Brew.
You're right.
Thing again.
You're right. It's all right. They'll just get two today. It'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll just.
It's fine. It's fine.
I didn't want to disrupt your whole little
feel. I had a flow. I felt like I was in a good flow there too, but it is what it is. I'll do it live.
You Chris Berman?
What was his name? Bill O'Reilly? Is that his name?
It was Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was another rant by Chris Berman that was
there is similar one. To that. Yes. It's similar, yeah. Well, I'm not gonna rant like that. I might rant in a different way, but I'm not gonna rant like that today. Arizona State 30, Mississippi State 23. There's a book by Tom Clancy called The Sum of All Fears. Kind of what this was. Everything we were afraid was going to happen, it happened in this game. Not a great performance for Mississippi State. And now their chances of the postseason here in week two are drastically, drastically slashed, to put it mildly. Defensively, just an awful effort, but offensively, not a whole hell of a lot better. Really a poor game for Mississippi State, and the kind of game that, I mean, the anger is palpable on social media and on message boards over the past 24 hours. I mean, we got angry people, Robbie. We got angry people. So I can't wait to hear what you have to say. It's going to calm everybody down. It's going to bring everybody back into the fold. I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be a message of positivity and love. Tell them, Falk.
Surprised by this. Can we really be that surprised? I mean, I was a little surprised by how badly Mississippi State played defense. But at the same time, it played out very similar to, you know, what we've talked about all preseason about this team. The defense is probably going to be bad. You're probably going to have to score a lot of points. You can't – the margin of error is very small. And you've got to take advantage on offense when you can. And they didn't do it. Scored 3 points in the first half. They missed, a couple of chances. And one of them, you know, kind of against their will there with the pass interference that I don't think was actually pass interference. But that kind of flipped the whole game. But that's not really the issue. The issue was, to me, Mississippi State getting absolutely bullied on both sides of the line of scrimmage. That should never happen for Mississippi State and for most SEC schools against some of these lower level Big 12, you know, former Pac-12 teams, ACC, whatever. You should be dominating the line of scrimmage. You should have the dudes up front, and Mississippi State does not have them. And that's become more and more apparent after 2 weeks now that Mississippi State just does not have the personnel, the dudes to compete in this league. And if you can't do it against Arizona State, if you're getting pushed around on both sides against Arizona State, what the heck is Georgia, Tennessee, Texas, Ole Miss, Missouri, and all those teams going to do to you? So this definitely is a red flag for me, seeing Mississippi State put that on the field. The biggest thing to me is Coleman Hutzler refusing in the first half to get out of a three-down front. And Arizona State watching that and saying, we're just going to run the football. And they did it 33 times with one guy, and he rushed for almost 300 yards. And would have been very close to it had he not slid down to run the clock out late in the ball game. State was absolutely embarrassed by Arizona State from a physicality standpoint. And I know everybody has talked about getting away from that blue-collar type thing. Everybody hates that. That slogan when it comes to Mississippi State sports or whatever. But State still needs to play with toughness. The mindset of players in Mississippi State in the past, the way that they've played the game has been tough, physical, hard-nosed football, and I didn't see that last night. I saw a bunch of whiffing on tackles. I saw, you know, guys just absolutely getting whipped up front, getting run over. It was embarrassing, man. And Mississippi State should never be in this position on defense. But this is something that we've talked about all year is going to be an issue for them. They didn't recruit well enough the last couple of years. They didn't recruit the guys up front that are going to be able to win ball games in the trenches. And that is going to rear its ugly head the rest of the season. I'm not ready to give up on Jeff Lebby at this point. I think it's way too early. I think he is going to have success here. But it is obvious they're going to have to overhaul what they have on the defensive side of the football because they don't have the guys. But if you don't have the guys, you've got to come up with a game plan that's going to be able to beat the other team. And they didn't do it. Coleman Hutzler watched that the entire night, and we saw very little adjustments from the defense to try to stay in that ball game. Luckily, they got a couple of stops and were able to kind of stay in it in the second half. But that's just unacceptable to have that kind of performance that Mississippi State did in a game that they really need to have if they wanted to go to a bowl game.
I can't disagree with a single word you said, and the lack of adjustments is just a killer. I cannot take that. I cannot take a coach that sees something that is not working and doesn't fix it immediately. It drives me absolutely insane, and so that's something we're gonna have to talk about coming up here, and that will be after we do this. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It is grilling season. It is football season. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So this weekend or any weekend when you're firing up the grill, let's do it with beef. Steaks and burgers, great. But if you want to go big with a brisket, a tri-tip, a chuck roast, there's just so many great options for you. If you love to cook out as much as I do, that means you love beef. So go get some. Go get some beef today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And you certainly are looking for it. When you come to Starkville and you want to grab a great meal and you want to have a great time, you can do it at Two Brothers Smoked Meats or at the Older Brother. My mom finally made it out to the Older Brother. She is like your wife. She is a muffaletta freak. Loves the muffaletta. And she said she enjoyed, that may have been one of her favorite ones she's ever had. So she's very cool. Get my mom up in there. Having her up in Starkville is awesome, by the way. I really enjoy it. I wish she had done it years ago, but you know that's neither here nor there. So, when you're in Starkville this weekend for football or any weekend you're in Starkville, make sure a trip to the Older Brother. Make sure a trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I got a lot of stuff for you to do when you come to Starkville. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. Make sure those things are on your agenda. Great products and great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years. 50 years of taking care of their customers. How many businesses do you know that have been open for 50 years in this state? Not a lot. And the ones that have stood the test of time have done so because they know how to take care of their customers. That means that gives you some peace of mind. When you buy something from Advantage Business Systems, if you need a new copier and you buy it from Advantage Business Systems, you have the peace of mind of knowing, hey, if something goes wrong with this, I can call them and they're going to get it fixed. Because they wouldn't still be open after 50 years if they didn't do things like that. So give them a call today at 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you're at Davis Wade this Saturday, you need to make a trip to Maroon & Co. If you're headed to Starkville, Maroon & Company is the place to get Mississippi State gear, a tremendous selection that you cannot find anywhere else, all of the logos that you want, everything you're looking for maroon and white, not just clothes, but stuff for the car, your house, your tailgate, everything. It's right there at Maroon & Co. Shop online at maroonandco.com. Use our promo code THUNDER15 for 15% off regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to the games, you need to go to Maroon & Co. I wrote these last night after the post-game show because I wanted to get them while they were fresh. Robbie went the other way. So Robbie and I talked before the show. Robbie decided to sleep on the game, let it marinate, let his thoughts, you know, simmer down from the heat of the game, and then come back and do that. I went the other way. I did my video right when the game ends, and then I went ahead and wrote out 14 things that are true for today's episode. Of course, that is brought to you by our good friends over at Bell Building Supply. When we're talking about grilling out, the machine for grilling is the Big Green Egg. It is the Cadillac, the Rolls Royce, the everything of grilling. It is the premier apparatus to have in your backyard. And Bell Building Supply is the Golden Triangle's one and only platinum Big Green Egg dealer, which means if you want to get a Big Green Egg at the best possible price, you're going to go and see our friends at Bell Building Supply. And if you already have a Big Green Egg and you just need the accessories, you just need the charcoal, they've got that at Bell Building Supply too. It's along with a lot of other great things for your home and garden. Everything right there at Bell Building Supply. They are the sponsors of These Are the Things That Are True. Number one. Every year, Robbie, every year, week one happens and we were like, hey, look, let's not overreact to what we see in week one. Let's not overreact. I think we have the opposite problem, Robbie. I think we're underreacting to what we see in week one. And from going forward, I'm going to stop doing that. What I see in week one, it makes a difference. What did I see in week one last week? A team that got pushed around a little bit on the line of scrimmage defensively, couldn't generate any pass rush, couldn't find any explosive plays in the running game. And that's exactly what happened in week two. So I'm going to stop worrying about overreacting. I'm going to worry about underreacting to what I see when State plays these FCS teams in week one going forward. I think that's the issue I have.
I don't think that we underreacted at all. I think you and I
feel like I did.
Well, not really, because you and I have said from the beginning that this front is going to struggle. So, I mean, I kind of saw it for what it was. I haven't really felt good about this front at all.
perhaps on that end, you're correct. But on the running game, I didn't. I should have taken what I saw more seriously, that they couldn't really run the ball.
On offense.
Yeah, that they could not run the ball on Eastern Kentucky.
Yeah.
I should have been like, they're going to struggle running the football this year. I should have been more adamant about that, and I wasn't. So I am not going to underreact any longer to week one.
What's happening there? I mean, the numbers are just awful. The numbers yesterday were so bad. Kevon Lee had 9 carries for 35 yards, which isn't good. But then his backups, Davon Booth and Johnny Daniels, had 9 carries for 8 yards. Like, they can't pick up. They're getting hit at the line of scrimmage. State was hitting the running back like 5-6 yards down the field. That was when the first contact was made on Scadabo. But the State was getting hit at the line of scrimmage. I mean, Kevon Lee, when he was gaining yards, it was like he was fighting for every yard to get it. So I don't really, I think that we have discounted the fact that Mississippi State has basically 5 new starters.
Yeah.
Albert Reese started 2 games last year.
Yeah.
I honestly believe, and I said it to the people that was around me last night, I think that it's just going to take time for that group to gel. I think there's obviously some issues there with them in that they haven't played a lot of football together and they're learning. I don't think it's that they're not talented enough. I just think it's going to take some time. And I think the hope was that State would sneak through these first 3 games and survive and be able to fight through that stuff. But they've now gotten the adversity and they had to deal with it in a loss. So, yeah, it is very concerning that they're not able to control either side of the line, and the running game is so bad on both sides.
Number 2. This one's going to maybe make some people upset. So be it. Saw a lot of blaming the defense on Saturday night. And they didn't play well. And they did not play well. But I predicted the final score of 38-35. So we told you all offseason. We told you this defense wasn't going to be good. We told you that. So what I wanted to say is this. We've been making the comparisons all summer. Kiffin and Lebby's first year at Ole Miss, right? When you lose 51-35, when you lose 63-48, when you lose 55-48, then you blame the defense. Then it's the defense's fault. This game was lost on the offense. They scored They scored 3 points in the first half. They rushed for 24 yards in this game. That is not good enough. And that is the thing we said all offseason was they're going to struggle defensively. They have to be able to score points. And 23 points is not enough. This defense is not going to win games. You're not going to win games 24-23, 23-21 with this defense. You've got to be over 30 points. I'm telling you right now, the defense played like crap. They were terrible. The offense was why State lost this game, in my opinion.
Yeah, 3 points, negative 13 yards rushing in the first half. That's pathetic.
You can't win like that. And that's going to tie into my number 3, which is this offense is not the air raid. You can't have those kind of rushing numbers and hope to win. In the air raid, you could rush for 30 yards and still have a chance to win. You could absolutely do it. And Leach did many times. In this offense, we've said it all. We said it all offseason. That this offense at its heart, at its core, is a run-first offense. And you look at Ole Miss and you look at Oklahoma and they were able to run the football effectively, and that sets everything else up. If you're going to be one-dimensional in this offense, it needs to be with the run. It cannot just be with the pass, and we saw that. If State cannot run the football in this offense, they cannot win, period.
We used to get in arguments on the other site whenever we were over there with a guy that was adamant that you do not have to have a running game to run play action. Mm-hmm. And I vehemently disagree with that. I think a running game plays into your play action pass in a strong way. And State was running play action without having done anything in the run game. And I don't think it helped them at all. State has – this offense is predicated on them being able to run the football very well. And it works hand in hand with their passing offense. They can't survive like this offensively. And I don't – like, I still think their offense is going to be productive this year. But is it going to be what we're talking about is, can it be productive enough that you are in position to win games beyond UMass and maybe even Toledo? You're trying to get, you know, 4, 5, 6 wins. After those two games, you're trying to get three more wins. How are you going to do that if you can't run the football? If you can't run the football and your defense isn't stopping anyone, this is going to be a really long season, you know, one of the longer seasons that you've experienced since Kroom left. Mm-hmm. So you got to figure something out. And I don't know if it's personnel running back. I don't know if it's offensive line and the lack of continuity there. I don't know if it's both, but you got to figure it out.
Number 4. A lot of talk on the message boards about NIL. A lot of talk. And people are at the point where they're saying, you know, obviously our NIL is not as good as people report it to be. So the thing that is true is this. I don't think Charlie Winfield is lying directly to my face. I don't believe that. I believe Charlie would tell me, like, look, off the record, we're struggling. And he would keep it off the record. He would not want me to come out here and just tell you, hey, they're struggling. Because you can't do that. I think if State was struggling, Charlie is. I mean, I could be wrong. Charlie might. I don't know. I'm not a lie detector, but I don't think the man who. I mean, the man has been to my house. I think he's my friend. I don't think he's lying to my face. People and Charlie. He says this a lot, and we have said it, and it's not sinking in for some people. It is about money nowadays in recruiting. It is about money. But it's also about recruiting. And it's not Amazon. It's not need a defensive tackle, click. Need a linebacker, click. Need a 4-star running back, click. It's not. Mississippi State is in a rebuild. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. They have a first-time head coach who has a good reputation, but he is a first-time head coach. You have a defensive coordinator that nobody knows anything about, and the early returns have not been good. A lot of players are going to just look at it and go, look, yeah, I can get a little bit more money, but what does that mean for me, my career? You know, I think we have turned players into this idea that, like, they're just doing everything for money. And there are some that probably are. Just like there are regular people in the world who just do things for money. But the majority of players in the recruiting process are looking at the whole of the program and what's best for them long term. And Mississippi State right now, if you're a 1 or 2 year player, is not the best choice for you. So it doesn't matter. I mean, could we offer them stupid money? Like, hey, you know, but I'll just tell you this right now. And I've mentioned this before. It's a different sport, but I know what we offered what's the kid's name? Avila, the kid from who ended up at Oregon State. What was his name? What was his name?
Even Marquette.
Yeah. I know what we offered him, and I know what Oregon State offered.
Oregon State was not in the same stratosphere.
Like, literally the difference between an assistant manager at Burger King and a, like, lawyer. Kind of different. Like, a high-paid corporate lawyer. Kind of different.
Like, I don't even know if us talking about this is going to get through. I mean, we've talked about this so many times.
I'm going to say it because it's true. Unless you believe Charlie Winfield is not lying to you, because you don't know Charlie for the most part. 99% of you may not know Charlie at all. Never met him. Charlie's my friend. I have his number in my... I text him just randomly sometimes. It's just like, just to shoot the breeze with him. All right? We have lunch together pretty frequently. Unless he's just lying directly to me and Robbie's face, the money in the NIL coffers is not the issue. Yeah. I hope that's starting to get... I hope that gets through.
I don't think it is.
And I don't want to hear.
I really don't.
Go ahead.
It frustrates me because every time State loses a game, that's the conversation.
Yes.
It's just automatically that we don't have NIL money. Josh Hubbard's not here if Mississippi State didn't have NIL money. You look at some of the guys on the roster now, Deontay Anderson, Corey Ellington, John Lewis, a lot of guys that a lot of teams were wanting. They're not here without Mississippi State's NIL. And people discount that too. Roster retention has a lot to do with what you got in NIL. You still have to, and people can say, well, our roster isn't good enough. I get that. But there are players on this roster that other SEC schools won't. And Mississippi State has fended that off. And they've done that every year for the last 3 years. Xavion Thomas and Ra-Ra Thomas are the only two guys that I can think of off the top of my head that State really wanted to stay that did not. And Ra-Ra's was NIL related. Xavion's was not.
Was not NIL
Mississippi
related.
State was offering him significantly more money. It would make some people sick at their stomach. But that's my point, though. That's my point. And I understand the frustrations with it. I understand, you're giving money and you're not seeing the results. That has to be incredibly frustrating. But we want you to understand that it's not like that for every single recruit, that it's just whoever gives the most money. That's not how this works. And they do it every time State misses a guy in recruiting. It's because Arkansas is paying him more or Ole Miss is paying him more. That's not always the case. Some guys just don't want to come into the situation, or they don't want to stay in state. I mean, there's still an element to recruiting that matters, and it's not just about the money.
I just want to say, like, this is me talking to y'all. All right. I feel like over the last, I've been doing podcasting now for 13 years. All right. I feel like, if nothing else, you guys know that if I thought it was crap, that I would tell you. I feel
Yes.
like I should have that reputation at this point, that if I really thought MSU was sitting on like a six-figure fund and there was no money to be had, you would hear that from me. Because damn it, I
You and
would
I
be
would be
telling you at that point,
complaining.
I would be on there telling you, like, you guys have got to get off your ass and donate. I'm not telling you that. I think you need to donate. You still need to keep donating.
We've done
But it's
that.
not as desperate. It's not desperate. It's the coaching, the recruiting still matters. It still matters. And State has missed in the recruiting side of things on a lot of guys. Oh, and not just in football. So.
And this isn't going to be fixed overnight either. That,
Well,
and
let's get into that. Let's get into that. Number five. With Morehead, it just kind of fell apart, right? So, there was no rebuild. Leach, his first year was a rebuild, but that's the COVID year. And with everything else going on in the world at that time, the pain of a rebuild didn't really register as much, right? Those games weren't fun. But at the same time, it was just like, it didn't even feel real, right? There's 10,000 people in the stands. The world is falling apart around us. It didn't matter. Mississippi State fans have forgotten the pain of a rebuild. It is not an easy process, all right? It's not you just snap your fingers and you're automatically better. It does happen sometimes. And Ole Miss, unfortunately for Mississippi State, was one of them. They were immediately better with Lane Kiffin. They immediately better. That is more of a indictment, I think, on the talent that was squandered by Matt Luke. He had an NFL quarterback. Go ahead.
That was a rebuild, though, in a sense,
It was a rebuild.
before Lane.
Yeah, he had to rebuild them a little bit up, but at the same time, he probably could have had more better results than he did because he had some talent on his roster that he didn't really take full advantage of. This is a rebuild. It's a process. And that doesn't make last night excusable. It's certainly not excusable for Mississippi State to go out there and get pushed around and beaten up by a team that was in the Pac that finished 3-9 in the Pac-12 a season ago. That's not excusable. That's not acceptable. But there's going to be tough days along the way. We're not just going to snap the fingers and, okay, back to winning 8-9 games a year. It's going to have to be a process. Does that make last night acceptable? No. Don't say that. I'm not telling you that at all. I'm just saying that somewhere along the way, Mississippi State fans, we talk about the team's not tough. The fans have got to be a little tough here too. You're just going to have to sit here and take. I try to tell you all summer. that stay in the maroon bubble and, you know, just take the punches. They're going to come. I didn't expect them to lose last night up until the game kicked off. After the first drive, I was really thinking it was going to be a bad night. Didn't take long for me to get there. This is going to be a process. Last night sucked. There's going to be more sucky days the rest of this season.
Tom.
The only options, you have two options. Ride it out or just find another hobby. Those are your literal only two options.
Yeah.
So,
he might end up being Joe Moorhead, but the state can't make any drastic moves on him, and they're not going to.
No.
They have got to have stability and continuity for several years.
Yeah.
And it, like you said, I mean, it's going to suck. There's going to be some rough moments. This year especially is going to be tough. But you've got to just see this through. We're seeing it across the country, teams that are coaches that are having to rebuild. And, you know, by year two or year three, they've really turned things around. I think Kenny Dillingham's one of those guys. I mean, there's very few people that inherited a mess quite like his. He has 60 new players on his roster this year. So, you know, it's one of those deals where there's a lot of work to be done. But whatever happens this year, unless it just looks really, really, really bad, whatever happens, you just got to take it on the chin and move forward. The hope is that you're showing progress even through losses. Your team stays together. You get better and better as the year goes on. And you can see that evidence that things are moving in the right direction. But we've said it all summer. The wins and losses this year are not what you need to look at with this team in regards to whether or not Jeff Lebby's going to be successful. You need to be looking at what you see on the field. If you see what you saw on Saturday in that first half, if that's going to be the norm for Mississippi State, then there's some issues ahead. Yeah. But if you see that second half, then I think things are going to be okay. But there's everybody's got to be a little patient too.
Agreed. Number six. Something I saw a bunch on the text line this week on Sports on Mississippi. Oh, they were playing vanilla. They weren't showing very much defensively. Does not exist. Playing vanilla does not exist. You are what you are every week of the season. I want to point something out. Do you think Ole Miss has been showing off the whole playbook these past 2 weeks? No. If you want to call that playing vanilla, that's fine. They've won their two games 130-some-odd-3. All right? You are what you are. So when you say, oh, they're not showing a whole lot, you're an SEC team playing an FCS team. You shouldn't have to show a whole lot to dominate every snap of the game. Go back and watch the 2017 game with Mississippi State and Charleston Southern when you've got NFL guys on that defense. And tell me, are they playing vanilla or not? Doesn't matter if they're playing vanilla. Jeff Simmons is wrecking everything in the middle of that field. State doesn't have a Jeff Simmons, but they don't have anybody close to Jeff Simmons. And that goes into number eight.
They don't have a Gary Green from that.
That goes into number seven. And I'll grant you you and I had this discussion earlier in our group text. I'll grant you one. State has maybe one guy who would start or be in the two deep at a top 20 school. That's Isaac Smith. He is literally the only one.
28 tackles in two games.
Trevion Williams? No. Stone Blanton? No.
Trevion.
Maybe in the two deep. Maybe.
Healthy Trevion, I think.
I'm running out of patience with Trevion Williams. I just want to see one game where the guy is good from start to finish. I haven't seen it yet. Well, when you come in with the recruiting hype that he came in with, I have to see it at some point. This is year three.
Yeah, but like I said, I mean, he's hadn't had any games to play in.
The next good game he has will be the first one. And I just want to see one. So this week coming up against Toledo, have a good game. Have a good game against them. Dominate the line of scrimmage against Toledo. That's what I would like to see. DeMonte Russell, I mean, the guy's been here for 5 years, and 5 years he's been the exact same player. You know, I mean, you don't have any guys. I think you got some young guys who could get there, but there's just no talent. And you combine a lack of talent with inexperienced coaching, and I won't go so far as to say incompetent. It's only been two games. But I did not like what I saw last night, as Robbie pointed out earlier. The lack of adjustments was shocking, absolutely shocking. I guess I'm going to go ahead and a lot of these tie together today. This is actually number 12, but we'll just go ahead and do it. Robbie, we said on the show, we said the Mississippi State defensively should be make Sam Leavitt beat them. Make Sam Leavitt beat them. After 3.5 quarters of getting absolutely gashed, they finally decide, okay, maybe we can put some more guys in the box. And what happened? You got some stops and you got back in the game. That should have been the game plan from the beginning. There should have been 8 guys in the box the whole game. And tell that kid, you can throw it over the top, you got it. It was one of the worst defensive game plans we've seen in quite some time. Just really, really poor.
And you and I are idiots. I mean, I'll just go ahead and say it.
We are.
If we went into a meeting with these coaches, they would school us on terminology, scheme, things like that. But it just, I mean, looking back on it, and the very little we even knew about Arizona State when we were discussing this last week, how do you not have that idea that we're going to make this? The guy could not complete a pass beyond 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
He threw it deep like 5 or 6 times, was nowhere close to being caught. Not once. He threw like a 10-yard out route, incomplete. Like, he was awful. If you go look at his numbers, he was awful. They were completely one-dimensional, and you still could not stop them. And I think it was the running back that said that he was – I could be wrong, but I think he said he was like – disrespected by Mississippi State putting 3 guys on the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he saw that they were putting 3 guys in the line of scrimmage, maybe 5 guys in the box. They might have 2 linebackers in there. And he was disrespected by that. And State never adjusted to it in the first half. I mean, we looked up every play after 8-9 yard gain, 3 men in the box. 3rd and 1, 3 men in a box, 4 guys in the box. 4th, at the end of the game, they're on their own 25-yard line with State having all the momentum, and they decide to go for it on 4th and 1 because they knew State wasn't going to stop it. What does that tell you?
You know the play that broke me, and you and I both tweeted about it last night. 3rd and 10 in the first half, they just handed it off up the middle. And got a first down. That is disgusting.
I don't think he got hit until he was 5 or 6 yards.
The first down marker.
And when State did hit him, like at the line of scrimmage, he got forward progress 2 or 3 yards.
Once again, let's tie another one together, Robbie. Number 8. This is the least physical Mississippi State team I can remember. The amount of truck stick that happened on Saturday with MSU defenders just bouncing off of Arizona State offensive players was incredible. I mean, just they just physically every play punched Mississippi State in the mouth. Every play. They could have run for 500 yards last night. They didn't. They literally did not need to throw the football one time. They could have run the wishbone in that game. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a Mississippi State team. I mean, I don't like to use the word, but I mean, that's soft. Last night they were soft. They got to get. Yep. That cannot continue because you got teams coming up that you think Arizona State was physical. You got a bad thing coming your way in a few weeks if you don't get that fixed. That was just awful. Number 9. This bothered me, and we talked about it all offseason. Like, if Jeff Lebby doesn't run this offense the way he's always running, play tempo already. Just play it. The whole, we're going to sub guys out on first down. When you sub, that the tempo is gone because now the defense can sub. And now you're snapping the ball with 20 seconds left on the clock. Just play tempo. Just keep the defense on. There were a couple of times last night where State would run a couple of plays, get a first down, and then they sub, and then you're allowing teams to make adjustments and go from there. Play fast. just play. It's something in the water in this town that that affects offensive coaches. That they don't want to play fast. They just don't want to do it. And
yeah, it's very strange. And you know, you get the ref standing over the center, so you can't snap the ball because when you sub, the defense is allowed to sub.
Right.
So State just continuously was subbing in while trying to run tempo, and it was slowing down. It was taking your momentum away. And that's how this offense has the upper hand, is that it's faster than the team it's up against. And last night, we just didn't see it. I thought we saw it for a good portion of the game against Eastern Kentucky, but it's like this one, like, where is it? And this one, this is the game where you need to do it. So I don't know, man. It, yeah, that was tough too.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, it's difficult to understand sometimes what's going on through people's heads. Number 10. That's 2 weeks with a missed kick. All right. Clean that up already. All right. The first week, bad snap. This week, you missed an extra point. And here's the thing that I might have had an aneurysm if State had scored another touchdown. Because then you've missed an extra point that would have won you the game. It's an extra point. It should be 100%. I can't live with a missed extra point. I just can't. You got to fix that. It's 2 weeks in a row you've missed a kick, and this one could have cost you the game. It could have.
Like, this isn't the NFL where they push it back. Like, right. This is a this should be as automatic as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah,
and both missed kicks that you've talked about were on different guys, but that's kind of an issue if you have multiple guys making mistakes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's even more of a problem. Maybe one thing, if you just had bad snaps, you just change the snapper. You have a bad snap, now you have a bad kick. Where are you going there? Other than that, though, once again, special teams, really good. Barmira is a great punter. No return yardage of any kind. Coleman didn't really have an opportunity, but we talked about that, you know, what happened in the Eastern Kentucky game was really an anomaly. But when he gets if he gets a returnable punt, I certainly have a lot of faith in him to be able to make a return.
It was fun to see a guy on Mississippi State's team catch a pass like he did and take off and leave everyone.
One step and he was gone. I love that.
Like, that never happens in Mississippi State. So having that is awesome.
That's great. All right. I think this is 12. We'll just go with it. For everything that went wrong in that, for all the problems State had, for everything that we've talked about that feels like it was a mountain to climb, if Chapin just doesn't fumble the football, who knows what happens in that game? All right? That's the difference in the game, is a terrible decision by Chapin to not just eat the sack and punt the ball away. And he tries to make a play. I really did think his arm was going forward. I was kind of surprised at State. I mean, maybe you're not going to win the challenge, but you got it. That's the game right there. You got to challenge that play. I was surprised they didn't.
There's also a spot that they gave Arizona State a first down when they were clearly short.
Yeah.
And they never challenged it.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That reminds me a little bit of Mullen's first year when he didn't challenge that the play against Houston where Tyson Lee was behind the line of scrimmage, but they said he was over. Sometimes a first-year coach, you know. And that's the thing, like, what are the veteran coaches on this staff that could help him out? I mean, somebody's got to say something there. But if Chapin doesn't fumble the football, it's a different game. And so as bad as State played, this is the only positive spin I'm going to give you today. As bad as they played, they were one kind of play away from it being totally different. A lot of people want to point to that pass interference, and that's a good one. I did agree with what Roddy Jones said. They're like, Mario Craver is a young player. He puts that hand up high. Mario Craver in a couple years will have that hand down low, and nobody calls that. He's correct about that. But that
was clearly hand fighting.
They're just hand
fighting. Hand fighting.
It's soft. I don't disagree.
It wasn't a push off. Yeah. He didn't. I mean, both guys are fighting for position. You let that go.
Right.
And that's what set that play up. I mean, you have the penalty. It pushes you back in your own territory. They're able to pin their ears back and come after Chapin. The entire complexion of the ball game, and especially on that drive, changes because at worst, State kicks a field goal. And you go from it was 20 to 3 after – no, it was 20-0 after that, wasn't it? Or was it 23?
It's 20-3 at that point, yeah.
23.
But instead,
at worst,
yeah.
At worst, it's 13-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big. So, big, completely big, different looking ball game.
Yeah. Number 13. We're going to be honest with each other here, right? This is something we have in this program. We have the trust tree. We speak honestly, speak openly. You can't look at the schedule right now and think they're going to win an SEC game. You really can't. You know, Florida's still not any good. I'm hearing that Florida's going to go back to Mertz. That is the single dumbest thing a coach on the hot seat can do. It's the you can't. You remember this happened with Mullen, and he obviously survived it, but like he had Tyler Russell. Russell gets hurt. You see Dak, you're like, oh, wow, that guy's great. And then you're like, no, we're going back to Russell. Lagway was great on Saturday. He threw for 450 yards. You cannot go back to Mertz. You just have to move on. But that's what they're going to do. But that being said, Florida is still very talented. Arkansas is obviously a lot better than we thought they were going to be. I know they lost, but they are a better team than we thought they were going to be. It's 650 yards on Oklahoma State. It's going to be really, really tough to get wins. You should be able to win this weekend against Toledo. Should be able to beat UMass. More wins than that. Every other game is going to be, if you win, it's an upset. It's an upset right now. No question. So, I'm just telling y'all that's it's going to be tough.
Staring down the barrel, I mean, if you're just picking games and you're staring down the barrel at, I guess it'd be your worst season since 03, 04. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess because, you know, the COVID year, but it's just so different, right? Because you're playing all SEC teams. It's just different. So.
They're going to have to upset some teams.
Yeah. We'll see if they can get one. Last one. I'm not really telling anybody anything they don't know on this one, but there's going to be changes to this defensive staff at the end of the year. At least one. I mean, we all have been pointing at David Turner. The defensive line situation at this university is not an acceptable thing. I mean, it's just not. Mississippi State likes to fashion itself as DLU, but the last one that was Jeff Simmons. That was 6 years ago, him and Sweat. You know, I know they've had a couple of good ones since then, but this whole idea that the top defensive linemen in this state come to Mississippi State is not true anymore. And that means you got to make a change because D linemen are that's where your NIL dollars have to go. And if you're not willing to get in that game, and that's kind of the rumor mill with David Turner, you just got to make a move. And then I don't know if Hutzler's going to be a Carl Torbush or not, but I do think Lebby is smart enough to know that if he can't hold on to a sinking ship like that. So if things don't get better, you got to go out and get an experienced guy in year two. Otherwise, you're just handicapping yourself. So I expect there to be some changes on that side of the ball. Yeah, I know we're only two games into the season, and I hate to talk about that this early, but it's just got to have to be that way.
Yeah, because I don't see it getting significantly better, to be honest with you.
You're right. I don't either. So, all right, let's talk about something important.
Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Coffee is for Closers is brought to you by our friends over at Strange Brew Coffee House. New location and opening up soon in Northport, Alabama. So Northport, Tuscaloosa, and of course, Starkville and Tupelo. It wasn't really difficult for Mississippi State for me to pick my Coffee is for Closers loser on this one. It's both sides of the lines of scrimmage. Offensive and defensive line got pushed around, got beat up, just an embarrassment on both sides. 24 yards rushing against a Big 12 team that was picked 16th in their conference, embarrassing. Giving up 350 yards rushing to that same team, embarrassing. No coffee for any lineman at Mississippi State. Had some the good news for State is plenty of company. They say misery loves company. Plenty of it in college football this weekend. I had a couple of choices here for the SEC one. I went with Auburn. I went with our friends out there on the plains of Alabama, who, you know, some of them are the reasons for some of the misery here in Starkville. But that's a story for another day. But the right Reverend We said it. Everybody who follows college football closely and was willing to say it, said it. Running it back with Peyton Thorne was a terrible idea for Auburn. We talk about not – you think about this, right? We're sitting here having this discussion about NIL and everything. We know Auburn has money. We know they do. But they weren't willing to go out and get a quarterback, or they weren't willing to spend the money they needed to get a quarterback. And look at them now. They lose to Cal at home. At least State lost to a former Pac-12 team on the road. At home?
He got shut down by Peter Sermon.
Even worse. That is a brutal loss for Auburn. Auburn's schedule.
It's just a shame that Hugh Freeze is now going to take play calling duties away from Darius.
Gotta do it. Don't have any choice.
He just happened to not be calling him this week.
Let me tell you something right now. They have New Mexico next, right? Should be able to win that. They should be able to win that. Arkansas, Oklahoma, at Georgia, at Missouri. I mean, they might not win a game in there. Now, they probably will. They can beat Arkansas. Oklahoma, I haven't been impressed with this year. Well, that's a tough stretch. That's a tough stretch for them. Honorable mention to Kentucky. What the hell happened there? Yeah. They got run off their own field by South Carolina, a team that last week couldn't put away Old Dominion. God, I love college football. You never know. You
really never know. It changes from week to week.
Yeah.
Hopefully it changes in a good way for State in some of those games.
From a national perspective, in nomine Patri, de Fili, de Spiritu Santi. Notre Dame! What the hell, bro? True story here. So I watched hours of college football at the Beau Rivage Sports Book and Bar on Saturday, right? So Notre Dame misses that field goal at the end of the game, and this woman behind us is going nuts, crazy. And I'm just like, you know, covering, if she took Northern Illinois to cover, that was in the barn hours, you know, 30, 40 minutes ago. She couldn't have taken the Northern Illinois money line, could she? So I had to ask. On my way out, I was like, hey, you're going nuts. Did you take the Northern Illinois money line? She was like, yes, I won $1,700. That had to just be a spite bet. I hate Notre Dame, so I'm hoping they lose. And she put like $50 on Northern Illinois.
She liked their mascot, so she just went with them.
She loved the Huskies. Yeah.
Yes.
So what an embarrassment. Notre Dame, here we are again. They had the easiest path of anybody to the college football playoff. I don't know. Marcus Freeman not getting it done. I don't think he's going to make it.
Bad losses. He's had some good wins, but
there was some stat today I saw, and they said in the last like 10 years, there have been 16 home favorites who were favored by more than 28 that lost. Three of them on Notre Dame. Wow. That's rough. So, yeah, Notre Dame, no coffee for the Catholics this week. All right, tomorrow's show, we'll talk to Jeff Lebby on Monday, so we'll have a recap from that press conference. We'll have our SEC picks. We didn't differ this week, so we're all on the same page. There were some opportunities for one of us to get it, but we did not take advantage of it. Plus, we'll let you know the sign. We will see the sign in the press conference, although I may have already seen it on Saturday night, but we'll see if we'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. You guys have a great Monday. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.